Amen, buddy. That'll preach right there. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Debbie. And thank you, choir. And thank you for leading us in worship today. As I've told you, leading up to this day, it's going to be a special time because we have the opportunity to hear from our Salt Lake team as we emphasize missions here in the month of August. And this week being the first Sunday in that month, we will start off by letting you hear from our team. So while I'm talking, team, if y'all will go ahead, that went this past year and just have seats here up front, and we'd appreciate you doing that. Several of them are going to speak, and I just want to go ahead and issue a disclaimer. Anything they say about me is totally false. I mean, totally false. I mean, y'all know that... That you just can't trust people when you take them out of town. They make up stuff, right? No, I'm kidding. It was a great time. You'll get to see some pictures throughout. We wanted to fly on that jet that had the Star Spangled Banner. That's the Hoover Dam. But anyhow, so they'll talk through some of this. And I want you to hear from them. And then I'll wrap us up when we're done. So, okay, Brother Glenn, who's our first speaker? Angie, did she want to go first? Come on, who's our first speaker? Come on up here now. And y'all will just hand off to the next, okay?
I'm not shy.
Okay.
So this was my fourth year? It's a bunch. It's been a bunch. And you guys have probably heard before, Carrie and I were pegged after our first year to do Bible story, and so that was my role. I had the older kids. I really don't see myself, although I homeschooled, I don't see myself as particularly gifted. And I work with the kids in this church too, but that's not my strong suit. If I'm honest with you, I believe God's gifted me with teaching abilities, but I really think that's with adult learners. But nonetheless, I have the older kids because that's just where I feel a little bit better. So that was this year because camp, there were like 300 or so kids. Almost all of them showed up, which was shocking. Registration and attendance went up as the week progressed rather than down. Usually you see it go down, but instead it went up. A lot of kids there, lots of fifth and sixth graders. My third grade group was a little bit smaller. Fourth grade was equally smaller, but small is relevant, you know, when you've got 300 kids in all. Nonetheless, we had the same curriculum what we used here, which made it really easy for us because we already knew the content, we knew the songs, so it made us preparation for the whole event go a lot more smoothly than I think it had in years past. And so we have to be mindful because there's so much that sounds the same. So if you don't know a lot about what Mormons believe, on the surface it can sound very similar. And so when we present these stories to these kids, they don't reject it. They accept it as true because it sounds a lot like things that they may have heard before. So you have to peel really that top layer off and progress more deeply with them to challenge their beliefs. And it's important, I think, not for all of us, but in particular with Bible story, you need to know stuff about what Mormons believe. Because if you don't, you'll be talking about Joseph. They're not talking about Jesus' earthly father. They're talking about Joseph Smith. And so you have to know the nuances. You have to, you know, they believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. They have a heavenly mother and heavenly father. They think that we're all here born as celestial babies. And depending on what family you come to, it has a lot to do with how well you've done. And it's very works driven. So having some foundational knowledge about that helps us as we're engaging in these stories with these kids. With the older kids, on Thursday, we're basically presenting the gospel every day, but on Thursday, there is a focused effort to present the gospel. I have wanted for these kids to have an opportunity to be counseled, and so we made some changes this year to the way that we did things. Presented the gospel, we pass out cards, we ask each kid to just kind of indicate where they are. And you want to celebrate, and we should be celebrating, because there were 30-something kids just in grades 3 through 6 who marked that they wanted to talk with someone about receiving salvation from Christ. Now, the issue is they're happy to add that on to what they already believe. And so counseling is super, super important, because as our counselors went and counseled with these kids, a lot of these kids are firmly rooted in families who have deep roots, generational LDS, generational Latter-day Saints. And so they liked what we had to say, and who doesn't want to go to heaven? They also believe in multiple levels of heaven, and we are Gentiles to them. We get to just go to the bottom level, and then the Mormons progress up to the celestials. I can't remember all the levels. I think celestial is the bottom level. And girls in particular are very dependent on their husbands, and so the girls, there were a lot more females than there were males, because in the Mormon faith, as a female, you can't go past the celestial level unless your husband brings you up. How delightful, right? So there's a lot of just emphasis, and we drop little seeds in what we're saying, hoping that this will take root, and we know it will. And so anyway, out of all of those kids, I don't know how many of them, the Lord knows. The Lord will take the seeds that have been planted, and we will continue going. I'm in it for the long game. I don't know if preacher's going to talk about long game or not, but it is long game. We know that on average, it takes 8 to 10 years for people who are generationally in this faith to be able to come out of it. It's a transformation that we honestly cannot understand, because everything you know, your identity, is basically stripped away when you begin to have your eyes opened, that what you have believed and what your mama and your grandmama, and as far back as you can remember, they've been raised in the church, and it's not what we believe, guys. It's not what we believe. But a blessing, Tina, if you can find the picture of my little guy. This little guy was a sixth grader. These sixth graders can be, as Brent says, rough and tough and hard to bluff. And I am very strict, and I go in there, and they know from day one that you step into my room, and it's business. And we'll have fun, but fun comes after we've achieved the purpose that we're there. I go because my mission is to make sure that these kids see Christ. We'll have fun when we're done with that. And after all, seeing Christ is great fun. But this little guy came to me. I was a little bit scared of him. He's bigger than me. Bigger than me. And he came in, and he kind of looked like a little gangster. And he wanted to convey that toughness and that hardness. And you can see he's got a Bible in his hand. Tina, if you can go through any of the other pictures that have kids with Bibles. Robbie and Ray, I go to their Sunday school class. And it's the best class. No offense to anybody, but it's an awesome class here at church. And so we've made it a mission, because we had, I don't know, Carrie, how many Bibles? 30 maybe? Not a lot. We had maybe 30 Bibles. Now, we had, Carrie, Carla, and I had bought Bibles and shipped those. Somehow those had gotten lost. But these Bibles were found and given to us as a replacement, because our hearts wanted to make sure these kids had Bibles. We took all of the decorations, the posters, the banners, anything that we used to decorate our rooms. You can see a few of it in these pictures. We gave it to these kids. You would have thought I gave them keys to Joey's wind-up car. Like, they were so excited to have these posters and things that we would have torn off the walls and thrown into the trash. These were absolute treasures to these children. There were tears shed because I didn't have enough Bibles to give these kids a Bible. And talk about heartbreaking. So, I'm not emotional either, so David's probably like, why is she crying? Because I don't ever cry. I'm not a crier. But that will rip your heart out. Because my kids have, I don't know how many Bibles we've got in our house, a lot. These Bibles were precious. And so our Sunday school class is going to send 300 Bibles. I'm going to raise the money to do that. So if you want to be a part of sending those Bibles, I'm going to be taking up the money. Now, we're not sending them now, because remember, our friends here, that we don't have a permanent building. And so stuff goes into storage, and you know what happens when things go into storage. So we're going to wait and ship these Bibles in probably May of next year. But if you want to be a part of putting a Bible in every hand of a child there, because they don't have them. Their mamas and daddies have what's called a quad. Maybe they have a quad. It's mostly heresy plus the Bible. So it's the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and Doctrines and Covenants, and then the Bible is appended in the back. But most of the kids would say their parents won't let them read it. We've sent Bibles home before that parents have tossed in the trash. So these kids are desperate to have a copy of the Word of God. We're going to put it into their hands. The little guy I showed you that Tina put his picture up, he came to me at the end of the week and gave me a big old hug, and he said, "Miss Misty, I want you to know that Jesus has saved me."
What's up, guys? All right, so what I'm going to be talking about is every year I always get a chance to teach kids about the gospel. What grade we have? Third. And I was in charge of the boys, kept them straight, don't let them get in any trouble, all that good stuff. My favorite was this one kid named Israel. He was adult. The guy that Miss Misty, my mom, was talking about was his youngest brother. And it was him and another boy named Kai, and they had big questions for me and asking about what does it mean to be a Christian. That was Israel's question, and to hear him say that, I just had to tell him, because you don't get many people to say that, because people these days, they don't have the gospel, so I mean, and what I put in my notes was, being a Christian is someone whose behavior and heart reflects Jesus Christ. That means repentance. You turn away from that evil and you come back. And then to go up to him and say that it's awesome, because whenever someone's like that, it's just amazing. I mean, it left me stumped for a minute to have someone go up and ask me that question, because I've never had that happen before. So, I mean, it was weird at the same time, but not in a bad way. Like, I want to do this. And then my other question I got was for Kai, and his question was, let me find it, was, why do we need the Bible when we already have the Book of the Mormon? That was a big one. I understand. All they have is the Book of Mormon. They don't have the Bible in there. And I asked him, "Do you have a Bible?" He said, "No," because my mom and dad refused to get one from me. I cried. I told him, "I will pray for you and that you will get a Bible. I swear if I give you my own, you will get a Bible." He got one. I told him I would. Kept that promise. But they need it bad. And this thing that mom is doing to give them Bibles is huge. And I recommend, if you can spend a little bit of money and get one and turn it in, that you just saved a life, as I like to say. You just saved a life. Because those are our lost brothers and sisters out there. They need it. And Jesus is coming back soon, guys. It's time. All right, thank you.
Well, they had to have one old crusty to go with them. See, I didn't say two, honey. I said one. That was my job, and as many of you know me, I pastored for the last 20 plus years, and so during Bible school, what y'all don't realize, the pastor kind of just floats around, and he's, you know, playing with the kids and having a good time, that kind of stuff, and you don't stay a long time with any of them, you just float around. That's the way it was when I served anyway. And so now, here I am, I'm told I'm going to be working with third graders. I'm so thankful that Nathan was there, because he could handle them a whole lot better than I could. My nerves, I thought I was dealing with Satan's kids, you know. Fortunately, they tell you to get down in the floor. And y'all ought to have seen this fat boy trying to do some of them moves they had us do. And that would have been a hoot just watching that. But it was a sight. And, you know, I thought about mission trip. Let me change that. It's mission adventure would be a more proper way. And the adventure don't start when you get to the location. It starts when you leave Heflin Baptist Church and go to Birmingham, and I won't even get in, because I think some of us have decided that what happened on the mission trip needs to stay on the mission trip. I knew the preacher really liked that. So I won't get into much of that, but this was, I've been on several mission trips. I've been to foreign lands and local missions, but I've never been to a place like Salt Lake City. And the darkness. I mean, it's a lot like here. You see a lot of churches, but they're all Mormon churches. You don't see any Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Churches of God, any of those. They're few and far between. And pray for that team of at Awakened City, because you know every week, you know, we are so blessed that we have this nice building that's just for us. They have to use a school, which means they truck in the chairs, they truck in the sound equipment, they set it up every Sunday morning, they take it down every Sunday afternoon, and that's repeated week after week after week. And we take things like that for granted. And take for granted the fact that we have like-minded believers all around us where they don't. But one of the things, of course, me being a preacher, you know, I've got to give you a scripture. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I love it just how God laid that song on Debbie's heart to sing. There is a way. Now those people don't know the way. And that's why we go out there, is to help to show, to be that light. But let me read to you what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. He said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in which the God, little g God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Folks, they don't know any better. You know, I went out there, and as Glenn, I know, was sharing a lot with me, him, Brother Brent, both telling me the things about how it operated out there, because I was not very familiar at all with the Mormons' beliefs. And I kept thinking, how can anybody be so, pardon this word, but stupid? I mean, they believe you can pray people into a higher level of heaven, your lost loved ones, and some of the things that they believe. And I kept thinking to myself, how silly. But see, that scripture right there tells it, they're blinded. And it's just not in Salt Lake City. Guess what? It's down there where I live in Delta, Alabama. It's right here in Heflin, Alabama. We wonder why people don't flock to our churches. They've been blinded by the little g God of Satan. And so that's why it's so important that we go to Salt Lake City. We go feed the students and the teachers and the football players and the band and everybody else, the things that we do here in this community. Well, that's why we do that. Why? Because we're wanting to bring the light of the gospel to a lost and dying world. So I want to say thank you to the church, because that's something else, church. You may not realize when you put your money in the offering plate just what all it goes to support. But let me tell you something. It paid half of my way and Debbie's way that we could go out there this year. And I'm thankful for you for giving that we could go. And then I want to say one other thing, especially to our older teens, young people. Go. Because I want to tell you something. Shiloh was in my group too, but both of them, these young people, those kids related to them so much. Me, I was just a grumpy old man, you know. I won't get into that. Me and David come home at night, and I'm gonna tell you something. It's not just a vacation you go out there on. You start early in the morning and you get back late at night and then you repeat it the next day. Now, there were some fun things involved. We enjoy, and matter of fact, you know, we were not members of the church until we got back. And when I felt, when I worked and saw how crazy these people are up there, I told, you know, I thought, well, that's where we need to be. But we fit right in with it. So that's the reason we went ahead and joined the church. So you can thank this mission team for helping us make that decision to join the church, because it was. But in all seriousness, folks, like I said, I realize it's not just in Salt Lake City. And you say, well, why are we going way out there when there's people right here in our community? Well, the Bible tells us to go to all of them. Not just right here. Yes, we are to reach those in our communities, but then he tells us to go into the uttermost parts of the world. And that's what Brother Brent is leading this church in doing that. And you know, one last thing, I keep having these last things, but you know, he puts you through a test when you go on this mission trip. For some reason, I've yet to figure it out. They thought we needed to go to Las Vegas and have a 5-hour layover that turned into a 10-hour layover. I think he was testing us to see if we'd fool with it. Because I'm going to tell you something, I've never been to the Las Vegas airport, but that place was full of gambling machines. They were everywhere. But I didn't see one of them tempted at all. So you can be thankful for that. So that was one of the tests I think he put us through before we got to the mission field. But thank you, church, for allowing us to be a part of your church family and being a part of this mission team. Because I believe we didn't see a lot of results there, but I don't know how many seeds were planted. And God's going to give the increase. Amen.
fail.
that slide. You know, you have to climb up the slide, and I knew she couldn't do it. And I said, honey, I can't carry you up that slide. But Scott was talking about seating in there and doing all the motions. I looked around, he was sitting Indian style on that hard floor, and I said, I couldn't do that. I couldn't get up. Angie and me went and got a chair. But I do appreciate the help from the church and all the prayers. And just continue to pray for those, because there was one lady, one of the mothers, that she said she'd been out of church for 4 years. And I didn't ask her if she was Mormon. And I said, well, this church here is getting started, and they have a lot of kids. And just, you know, when I brought the pastor over there and his wife and introduced them, so maybe some of those families will be going there. Thank y'all.
So this was my first year going on this trip, and it was truly a blessing. I had third grade with Scott and Nate, and those boys were rough. Thankfully, Nate had it. And then whenever all the kids got out of control, Scott pulled out Simon Says. It satisfied him. But this was truly just an amazing trip. And to see all the youth from the other churches go made me think that I need to encourage our youth to go. There was probably 30 youth that went. And those kids, like Scott said, they really connect to us. And I think that we can make such a big impact. But I do encourage anyone to go on this trip. And next year, I hope we have an even bigger number. And it's not just all work, work, work. Like, if you're worried about that, we do have some, like, we do have some fun moments. And... and oh yes, the ice cream is great, but we do all these fun things, and it's so rewarding to see all the kids and like the seeds planted and the questions, and it was just truly an amazing trip, and I encourage everyone to go.
The little kids, I have kindergarten, first, and second graders, and they're not scary at all. They're very precious. They love to hug, which is great. The only problem is there's lots of fingers and noses, lots of them. So that's a big deal. You keep Kleenex close by to help capture what they're bringing out. So I really, really enjoy these kids. The hard thing is I don't know that we fully grasp here. I think this is my third or fourth year. They know the Bible stories just as well as I do, if not better than some of us. They know everything about it. They'll let you know that you didn't tell the whole story. They'll be like, you left this out, and you left this out. So the challenge is great because the moral compass there is really high, really high. And that's what they want to attain, is this moral compass. And so it's really hard to teach the blood of Jesus Christ. It's hard. They think in literal terms. It's hard to explain to a sweet little kindergartner about Jesus being beat and bleeding for us. So it's really a challenge. And I need you to understand, when she was talking about giving them the posters that normally I would just throw away here, nobody cares about, these kids in tears because they didn't have it. These kids aren't poor. I don't want you to think they were after this stuff because they don't have anything. They are not poor. Harriman, Utah is not poor. Salt Lake City is not poor. So these are just these kids wanting something because they feel it. They see it in us. They are still mesmerized that we come all the way from Alabama to spend a week in Utah doing this. They don't think we do anything fun. We have a lot of fun afterwards, and I'm going to honor or preacher and going to say, you know, what happened there is going to stay there. If you want to send me afterwards, I do have a couple of videos. So, but that's another thing I want to touch on is that this team back here, we spend a lot of time together, and it helps you to grow closer. We laugh a lot. Me and my sister have a tendency to be a little silly, but we are entertaining. So we have a lot of fun. But just remember, when we were singing the song earlier, it's not about cathedrals or steeples or crosses made of gold. It's all about the blood of Jesus, and that's what they have to, that's what we go there to teach. They already know what's in the Bible. They just don't believe it. It's just another story. And I did get to do one thing, and then I'm going to stop. We went to, I know this isn't the appropriate name of it, but it was like an LDS museum. They prefer to be called LDS now. They don't like the Mormon term. They're trying to get away from that. So it's like an LDS museum. And if you'll see some of our pictures, there's some paintings. It was a beautiful place. But what broke my heart there was these girls who take us on the tour. They devote part of their life. This is part of their mission. And they go there and give tours. And they are almost like robots in their responses. And we were not mean, but we were questioning them because they're not our enemy. They're not our enemy whatsoever. But it just really broke my heart because at the end, a little girl come up, I don't know, 19 years of age. And what bothered me so much is that there was an opportunity in her life for somebody to tell her about the gospel of Jesus, and it just didn't happen. And so instead of her hearing the gospel of Jesus, she heard about Joseph Smith and the Mormons, and now she is sold out to it. And it just killed me to think that, you know, and her parents were there following her around, and they were just beaming with pride about what she was doing, and it just ripped my heart to pieces. Because, again, it's hard. When you decide to come out of it, it's 8 and 10 years of utter darkness and alone time, to where sometimes you don't come out of it and turn to Jesus. You come out of it and you swear off any religion because your entire, what you've been told, is a lie. So they don't want anything to do with religion. So just, I can't think of her name. I can see her face. But just pray. Pray for that area. And it's not, I mean, there's Mormon temples all over the place. I think I can see it now in my mind. There's one in Buchanan, Georgia on 27. They're everywhere. It's not, you don't have to go to Utah. But I encourage you to go to Utah. Your life will never be the same.
Okay. Well, I am a crier, so I'm going to try not to cry. You know, you've heard a lot about kids camp, and kids camp is a great thing. I've been 4 years, and I'm just a snack guy. They put me doing something I knew something about, and that's snacks. You know, I'm pretty good with snacks. But they talked about the long game. Shane and Dixie Wise, you know, we've heard of them. It took them 7 years. We heard from a couple in Awakened City that left the Mormon Church. It took them 10 years. And like Scott said, we don't see much results. We see a lot of happy children, and we see a lot of folks that enjoy what we do, but we don't see a lot of results because it's a long game. It's a long game. This is my fourth time to be a part of kids camp. And some of those kids have been there all 4 years, and they remember me. I'm that funny talking guy from Alabama. And it's a blessing, though, because I'm building a relationship. And that's what it takes for these people, because when they start doubting, when they start realizing what they're following is a lie, they have to have somewhere to turn. And by building these relationships and letting them see the joy of Christ in us is what it takes. It's a different mission trip, like Brother Scott said. It's a different. They're not poor. They're well off. They've got more stuff than we do. And so it's different. And you can't go expecting to change the world in an instant, because it's not going to happen. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. And they don't understand grace. There's a lot of checking boxes. There's a lot of filling ordinances. There's a lot of doing what this book says you need to do to get to the next level. There's a lot of that. And if you mess up, then you've made a mess. There's no grace. So we have to learn to show grace to them. Like I said, they're not our enemies. They're lost. They need Jesus. And sometimes we get frustrated, and we have to remember to show grace in that, because like Brother Scott said, how can they believe what they believe? But if you were born into that and that's all you knew, then you would believe it. They're no different than us, other than they're lost. We also got to participate with another church this year. You know, we've met Scott and Heather Richardson several years ago. I mean, Todd and Heather Richardson, I'm sorry. But Todd and Heather, several years ago, Todd worked at Awakened City, and he helped organize kids' camp, and we got to know and love them, and the Lord's led them to a different church. And so we got an opportunity. They worship on Sunday evening. The community they're in now, Morgan, is a farming community. And so guess what? Them guys are working in the mornings, so they have church at night on Sunday evening. And so we got to go to Awakened City on Sunday morning and Morgan on Sunday night. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. The community there is a lot smaller than Harriman. Harriman is a big, bustling place. Everything's new. Everything's wealthy. It's a little country town where Morgan's at. They're, like I said, they're mostly cattle farmers. And so it was a lot more like Heflin, Alabama. And it looked a lot more like Heflin. There wasn't a lot of big buildings and things like here. But I think Brother Brent's going to explain to you, we've got opportunities there to expand our net, because guess what? Those people are lost too. It's you go and you learn. It is a dark place, like Scott said. And so you think about, if you give your life to God to go as a missionary and serve in these places, it can be tough. It is tough. It's not that it can be. It is tough. And they get overwhelmed easily, because it's like you're beating your head against the wall. But there again, like we talked about, it's the long game, so you have to sustain. And that, I think we're going to have more opportunities to help in that. And again, like Scott said, I want to thank the church for being a part of this. And I want to encourage you, if you've never been on a mission trip, try it. We have a great time. And we do grow closer together. Now, Carrie alluded to that her and Misty can be a little silly. But we had a laugher with us this time. Miss Debbie not only can sing really well, she really enjoys laughing. And I don't know if y'all know this, but it's contagious. We had some wonderful times together, and we grew so close together by getting to know each other and spending time. Joey and his girls, it was a blessing to get to know them and to get to know their heart. It was a blessing to get to know Scott and Debbie. And it was just a blessing all around. So thank you, church. Keep praying for Awakened City, and add Morgan Grace Church to your list too. Thank you.
Love you, bud. Man. Well, I do want to thank y'all for being kind, but I don't want to see anybody grouping around Carrie with a cell phone watching videos after church, because Jesus is watching you. Amen. But, hey, let me just wrap up just real quick, okay, on what we've talked about. Isn't it good for you as a church? Don't you enjoy hearing from people who've been there, people from the pews that you sit on, people that you worship with, you go to Sunday school with, you sing in the choir with, you're involved in youth ministry with. Isn't it good to hear that what you're investing in is motivating and mobilizing people from the church you worship in to go? Isn't that pretty awesome? And to see now young people are going, and Brother Chris and I have been in conversation recently about ways we can help mobilize more students in the summer to, if not that mission trip, other mission opportunities. The group of 30 that they're talking about, the students, they come from First Baptist Church, Powell, Tennessee. They're all Tennessee fans, and they stink like crazy. But, I mean, but outside of that, I got some really good friends. They say they're going to come visit with us some Sunday. So if we see an Orange Mafia showing up, we know. But, I mean, one thing about those kids, I've been a few years with that. Somebody's been more. I've been at least two or three times, and I see those kids are a very close-knit group, and they look forward to that opportunity every summer so much that they have so many that want to go. Their church has to put a cap on it in order to be able to get the team there. Wouldn't that be a nice problem to have? Amen? And I just lost my deal. It's okay. Nothing important, Keith. Don't worry about it. It's good. But anyhow, that would be awesome. So we're going to look for more and more ways to do that. Let me just remind you of a few things, and I'm going to ask you one question, and then we're going to stand together and sing. When I came here, I asked God to give me something short and concise that can communicate to our church why we exist. It's not about a mission statement or vision statement or any of that kind of stuff. Nothing wrong with that. But we need to know why we're here and what purpose God put us on this earth. And God really, through my time of prayer and just journaling and things like that, reading the Word, God really gave me this, and I've been sharing it with y'all for several years now. And that is, at Heflin Baptist Church, we exist for three main purposes. And that's to share God's Word, show God's love, and send God's people. Sharing God's Word is the message. Showing God's love is the ministry. And sending God's people is our mission. I love the two-word phrase. I think Ed Stetzer's the first person I ever read this in, but he said, we need, as God's children, to live sent. When you get up in the morning, you are a missionary wherever you go. And you need to live as a sent representative of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be a faithful person who exemplifies the characteristics and lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? This team chose to live sent. Other teams who have gone in the past live sent. And you don't have to go a long way to be sent. We have folks who will live sent right here in this community. I think, Robin, y'all gave 19 haircuts yesterday. 30 haircuts. Where'd I get 19 from? 30 haircuts yesterday, and gave away 30 cruise ships full of clothes. I mean, and thank you for all of you who just dove in and donated so many nice clothes and things. Our partners at Hearts, and Hearts, they're our ministry partners. We support them, and they are great. They probably did as many or more haircuts and gave away clothes and shoes and all that. And it's just amazing how that is living sent. You who will serve in the school staff luncheons this week, you are living sent. This week I had a request come up. It was kind of on the fly, and my D-Life group, they were all traveling this week. Those tough business trips down at Point Clear. I mean, Joseph, I thought, oh, that's got to be terrible. But anyhow, so I had to go to the bullpen, and I had to find me some guys, and I had a request to help put some picnic tables together and build some shelves and do some pressure washing at Fruithurst Elementary School. So I called Glenn and Owen, who are my buds, and I'm telling you, you mess with me, they will hurt you, okay? I mean, you say they're old. No, they don't have to fight you. I'm saying, and I would do that for you guys, but I called them, and it wasn't I don't know, let me check my calendar. Only thing they had checked for was doctor's appointments, and I understand that, but they were like, how can I help? And they both told me they had so much fun. And even had my picture made with them this morning. I mean, made me look much better. But I'm just saying, that's living sent to one. You know what Brother Owens told me? He said, right before you called, I just finished reading the book of James. What does James teach us? He teaches us to live by a faith that works. Not saved by works, but we do good works because we have been saved. Amen? So I'm so grateful. That is living sent. Next week, you're going to hear from Todd and Heather about Morgan Grace Church that they alluded to. What an awesome experience that was to worship with them. And we're going to find other ways we can send other teams that do other stuff than kids camp. You're like, man, I'd rather you stick needles in my eye than make me get stuck with a bunch of third graders. Scott got me scared. They always give me the sixth graders because I lead the best chance. You know, I did the Remember the Titans. My group this year was the Red Lip Batfish. Yeah, so I was everywhere we go. Oh, people want to know. You know, I had them going. You know, they're cheering. That's why I get sixth grade, because that's the way you handle sixth graders. You keep them very busy because you don't miss. But here's the thing. We're going to find other ways. They're doing things in Morgan, Utah, just like we're doing here in Heflin, Alabama. They're reaching out to their schools. They're doing community service things. And they just need some help with it. And our folks would plug right into that. They need encouragement for their pastors. They need encouragement for their leadership. And we're going to help be that. I really believe that. But here's the big question, and I'm done. Where do you fit in? It's one thing to hear about what everybody else is experiencing. But where do you fit in? You say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. Maybe there are some things that you would be hindered from doing, but I'll tell you one thing you can all do is you can all pray and you can give. And let's talk about the giving part. I'm not a pastor who gets up here every week and harps about giving. I just tell you what the Word of God says, and it's up to you to obey. I believe the tithe is holy unto the Lord, but let me tell you what God's doing as God has given us a vision and plan for missions in this church. Every week when you give, as Scott said, there's a portion of your offering that goes directly to send mission teams, directly to feed school staffs, directly to make contributions to our athletic teams and our band and our cheerleaders and all that. It goes directly into a fund that funds so many things and sends people. This year our trip per person was $1,140 a person, and by you giving, we were able to supplement 50%. So each person who went on this team was able to get 50%. They had to raise half. It don't bail you out. You got to have skin in the game, right? Their skin was. And then you as a church, you were a part of giving. So therefore, $520 per person helped send them. It made it easier for families and tough to travel together because you gave. And I want you to know that a lot of people say, well, I don't need to give. Church is doing better than I am. Well, I don't know what your situation is. But we don't give based out of how we're doing. We give out of obedience. Right. Amen? And when you do, God takes it and he multiplies it. And it encourages others. And we do that. You can pray, you can give. And listen, there's also some place you can go. It may be across the street. It may be across this nation. It may be around the world. But let me tell you this. When you go to places like Salt Lake City, you feel like you're in a foreign country. Am I fair, guys, it's been? You feel like you're in a foreign country. But I want to tell you, the place that's darkest is where the light can shine the brightest. So my question today is simply this, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do as a church. In just a moment, we're going to give an invitation, and here's the invitation. You may say, I don't know where I fit, Pastor, and should I be ashamed? Absolutely not, because maybe the reason you don't know where you fit is you just need to talk to Jesus and say, God, where do I fit? You may say, I don't understand all this stuff. Mate, it's just too big. Listen, the mission is big, but the master is bigger. You may say, I just need to find out how I can get plugged into even some local things, maybe some regional things. Maybe God has sparked your heart today and says, buddy, I'm going to find me a way to get to Utah. Because God has called this church there. God has called this church to penetrate darkness with light. Or maybe today you say, the reason I don't know my place is I don't know Jesus. Or maybe I've professed to know Jesus and I've just been playing games at the foot of the cross. I hadn't got real serious about it because everything else matters so much to me. I don't know. And I'm not here to beat you over the head. I'm here to help you up. I'm here to reach down there where you are and say, let me help you. Because God has a tremendous plan and purpose for this church. And it's going to take every one of us being all in and all out for the glory of God. So today on this invitation, you got to answer some questions. Do I know him? And if I know him, where am I fitting in his plan for you personally and for his church? And I believe with all of my heart that God will show you and God will help you make the right decision today. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the testimonies. Father, for the testimonies of young people like Nate and Shiloh to be courageous enough to stand up in front of their peers in church and say, this is what the Lord showed me. From the others, every testimony of how you used us and how you spoke to us through difficult time, difficult situation, a difficult place, but you receive glory is our prayer. Father, right now in this room, there are other missionaries who need to be missionaries to our community, missionaries to our region, but who need to be willing to go places they've never been so you can show them things they've never seen. And you can use them in ways that they never thought possible. Father, I thank you for the obedience of those first three guys who said, I'll go out there with you, Pastor, and we'll see where God can use us. I thank you for those days in March of 2018 when those three guys, Glenn, Robbie, and Mark, went and said, we'll go. And they went through all the touring and they went and listened to the pastors and they listened to the former Mormons give their testimony of life transformation. They came back different. They came back and gave a report to this church. Yes, God is leading our pastor and God is leading us. And they got on board. And Father, from there, team after team has gone to that area. And Father, we are committed for the long haul because it's certainly not a short run to get someone out of such darkness. But Father, my prayer for this invitation is for those who are seeking to find their place in your mission, for those who are seeking, maybe, Lord, to be a part of a church that's committed to this type of level of missions. God, I pray you'd speak to their hearts and lead them accordingly. And God, we'll give you praise for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Stand with me if you would and listen on this invitation. Maybe you just want to come pray with a member of this team. Maybe you'd say, hey, thank you for your going. Thank you. Maybe you want to pray with your family. Maybe you want to pray, God, where can you use me? I plead with you to come. Marty, you lead us. You come.
Let's make a song our prayer. Change my heart, oh God.
Gracelyn, you want to give your speech now? I got tickled at Gracelyn because Shiloh handed her the microphone. She was shaking her head like, hey. No, I love it. It was so good. I love these girls. They remind me too much of my own, I tell you. That's, Joey, that should scare you when I tell you that. But, church, I just want you to know how grateful I am for you. I hope you leave here on Sunday knowing that my pastor loves me. He's grateful for me. He's praying for me, and he cares about me. I hope you know that. He just didn't like yell and scream at me for 40 minutes and tell me everything I did wrong. I really want to help you. But if we don't get help till we realize that we need help, right? And we don't want to fix something, we realize something's wrong. And there's a world of people today that need Jesus. And thank you for being on mission to do that by your living, your giving, your serving. And let's just see it increase. Amen. Let's don't ever get here and say, well, we've got this far, that's enough. No, there's always a more mountain to climb. And you come back here a week after next. I want you to go ahead and read on in to what happened with Caleb when he finally did get his inheritance. We'll pick up there on the 18th and talk about Caleb had a pretty important mission too. But anyhow, I just want you to know I love you. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. I'm excited about everybody that's going to serve and represent our church this week in our community. And I am greatly encouraged by y'all. And just know we're all in this together. And I believe together we can accomplish a whole lot more than we can by ourselves. Amen.